listening to FOW Live on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick. With me, as always, Danny Danger. Danny, it is another week, and we are back. We are here to talk pro wrestling. Of course, and back with us for another week because apparently he did not get enough of me last week. David,
yeah, it was great. Back. Yeah. What's up, everybody? Oh, shit.
Oh, music starting over. Oh, no. Yeah, we're here. Another week of wrestling. Another week closer to WrestleMania. We're still in the new beginning. Impact or TNA is No Surrender's coming soon, and All Elite will be heading to Wembley Arena again. So it's got a lot of big things coming up in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Well, actually, Danny, new beginning is not coming. New beginning, it's over.
No, it's not.
Oh, you're right.
The show's on the 20th and the 21st.
I forget.
They're doing it different this week, this year, because typically, like, the Fantastica Mania is like at the end of January, beginning of February, and then the new beginning starts after Fantastica Mania. But for some reason, they like did a couple Fantastica Mania or new beginning shows, Fantastica Mania, and then like there's a couple more new beginning shows. It's a little confusing.
Yeah, I'm used to two new beginnings. They decided to do four this time.
Yeah, like two on one side of Fantastica Mania and two on the other, yeah.
They always do Osaka and like Nakajima or something.
Yeah, I think they're doing Osaka and Nagoya or something.
They did one in Nagoya and Osaka, so they're going to two nights of Sapporo.
There we go.
Yeah. So that's what's coming up. Of course, that then leading to the – and I guess that's when we'll find out next week the participants of the New Japan Cup that starts a month later.
Yeah. They usually do probably that second show in Sapporo. They will tell us the New Japan Cup participants at least one day they'll announce the participants and one day they'll kind of announce the dates for all the shows and the cities they'll be hitting.
And of course, doesn't forget the 52nd anniversary show, which will be at the Ota City General Gymnasium, which Danny, you and I had the pleasure of being at.
Yes.
You know, last
for
year
New Year, for New Year, Year. Dash. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a random gym, but I mean the history, right? Being like the first arena or event space or whatever you want to call it.
For New Japan for wrestling.
So that was kind of neat. I think for history purposes, the fact that we got to do that, Kurgan Hall and Tokyo Dome all in that 4-day span, scrambled together, it was great.
The
whole trip was about wrestling, right?
Yeah, we went over as part of a travel package co-sponsored by New Japan.
Mm-hmm. That's sick.
Yeah. So speaking of the New Beginning support shows, of course, they're stacked. And we're going to have, the last shows for Okada. But just a few matches that I want to highlight here. Yuji Nagata versus Zack Sabre Jr. Sounds like an interesting match. It's kind of like that. Old school versus new school. But,
Zack recently fought Tiger Mask, as well. Mm-hmm. So I think he's kind of trying to showcase and also, you know, learn from battling, you know, the third generation guys.
Yeah.
I think he's going to win the cup.
You think he'll win the New Japan Cup again? That would be third time winning the cup, right?
Mm-hmm. But he never gets to get above, like, he's like Goto right now. He's only a tournament winner who doesn't really get belts.
Yeah, he doesn't get, he had his biggest singles title was the, that TV title, which he dropped to the Ace. So I could see with Okada, you know, going and Ospreay going, I could see Sabre very easily going into filling one of those spots as a top guy.
Mm-hmm. They have to make
He got the win over American Dragon just the other day.
He's a stable leader. Like, usually those guys get the top belts.
Yeah, you would think that the stable leaders are usually gunning for the top singles title.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's like Ghetto or Machine Gun, somebody like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of title matches on the show. The IWGP Women's Championship will be on the line as Mayu Iwatani will be defending against Mina Shirakawa. Eldest Prado will be defending the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship against Sho. Evil will be defending the NEVER Openweight Championship against Shota Umino. Hiroshi Tanahashi will be defending the World TV title against Matt Riddle. And David Finlay will be defending the Global Heavyweight title against Nick Nemeth. So...
yeah, a lot of big title matches, interesting title matches, you know, and they have, you know, and you can't forget that there are some special singles matches, including the Yota Tsuji versus Yuya Uemura hair versus hair match.
That's gonna be
sick. You know, they're basically trying to, it's less about actually, you know, like taking the guy's hair as a prize. It's more about humiliating him and demeaning him. As you know, when you're a young lion, before you have your first match, they shave your head, you know, and then you're kind of allowed to grow your hair back in and start kind of doing it however you want or something. But so it's kind of supposed to be symbolic of sending the other back to the beginning of their tenure, kind of, you know, back to, okay, you're back to being a young lion. Go back and start from the bottom of the chain and work your way back up. I think the last time they did hair versus hair was Goto versus Suzuki, when Suzuki finally lost the spike.
Yeah. Well, that, mm-hmm. that match will take place on the second night of the Sapporo shows. On the second night also, it will be a 10-man tag, which will be Okada's last match in New Japan Pro Wrestling as a contracted talent.
He's already had his last match as a contracted talent. He's working as a freelancer.
Oh, sorry, yeah, my apologies. You're right.
But it'll be his last match. Yeah, his last match.
Yeah, you're right. His last match. And so I expect him to go over and having a nice celebration for him. Hiromu Takahashi looking to get back in title contention against Dookie. Like you said, Yota versus Yuya in a hair versus hair match. And Naito, giving Sonata a rematch for the IWGP World Heavyweight title. And also, lastly, this will also be the last match for Tama Tonga, who's on his way out as well. And he will be teaming up with his brother. So it'll be Tama and Tonga versus the Guerrillas of Destiny.
The G.O.D. versus G.O.D., basically.
Yes.
Wow. All G.O.D. versus new G.O.D.
It's kind of funny to say that Tama Tonga is going to be teaming up with his brother versus the Guerrillas of Destiny.
Versus the Guerrillas of Destiny, yeah. It's the Guerrillas of Destiny versus the Guerrillas of Destiny, yeah. It's. It's cool. Like, it'll definitely be kind of a – I definitely assume, you know, think of it more kind of as a passing of the torch kind of thing, you know.
Give him the step of approval.
Yeah,
what's his brother gonna do when he's gone? Like, his brother is just going to be, like, tag league filler.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem with Loa. I mean, he was in the G1, but he didn't do very well, you know?
He's terrible. He's, like, at singles.
Yeah, he's almost just kind of too generic, you know? Mm-hmm. He doesn't really do anything to stand out. He's just kind of tough guy, but he's not, like, other than that, like, yeah, he's a tough guy. He's got some good power. But other than that, as a singles guy, like, what the hell does he have, you know?
Him and Tama always try to come out to a singles match like they're a whole other guy.
Yeah. Tama's been able to do that, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's like been a champion, matches. You know. He's got over really, really well, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but yeah, unfortunately, Tongaloa does not have that charisma level that Tama does.
Yeah, he just cusses all the time. Like a kid. Yeah. Like, he's just like a kid cussing. Let's get over.
That's the War Dogs gimmick, brother. Leave that alone.
Yeah, but they're actually kids. Like, Tongaloa's like,
well, that's true. They're, yeah. Yeah, that's a little, yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and segue here from New Japan. See, obviously, New Japan having Grace Slater shows coming up. Can't wait. They just, you know, wrapping up the Fantastica Mania tour again. A partnership with CMLL that has been going on for a long time and a great tradition. Really fun to see stars from Mexico coming up with the stars of New Japan. But with all being said, here we have, as you said, Okada's last match. Nothing has been announced officially, but the rumor is that he will be signing with AEW, which I think for his comfort level, right, where he can have more of a say in the direction of his character and make the more money because, you know, TK will pay him whatever.
Yeah, because he's friends with half the EVPs. Yeah, he'll – well, so because the rumor is that if he goes to WWE, they would want him to go to NXT to help Americanize his style a little bit, learn how to, you know, do WWE-style shorter matches, TV matches, those kind of things. Yeah, and then you're not going to have full creative control. You're not going to be put into the big main events right away. You know, you're going to have to kind of work your way up some. Whereas, yeah, AEW, definitely, they'll let him go right on, you know, they'll let him jump right into big matches, you know, first day in. And yeah, he'll make a shit ton of money. He'll get to be the same exact rainmaker that he is now, if that's what he wants. Personally, I don't see that as the best option for him, you know, as far as visibility, because we've seen from All Elite that it's, you know, I mean, it's a very, very crowded locker room. You know, there's dozens of guys who realistically could be your top guy, you know, but there's only so much room at the top. So you have so many other guys who could be main eventers, you know, main eventing your pay-per-views, who are just kind of floating around, not really doing a lot. You know, so I see Okada falling into that, you know, like he'll get featured well, and then he'll just kind of fall into the pack, you know, and before long, he'll be your Ring of Honor world champion, you know, like on their weekly TV show that doesn't actually air on television, you know, whereas I feel in WWE, he would get a chance to be featured better. You know, because the roster A isn't as big, and B, I think they would do much better presentation to help fans learn about him. Whereas in AEW, they just assume you know everything about him already.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they're just going to go, oh yeah, this is the Rainmaker. Duh. You know who the fucking Rainmaker is. You know, you've watched his entire career. Like, instead of taking the time to kind of try to educate people on who he is and what he can do and kind of build him organically. Personally, yeah, I would prefer to see him in WWE. I think he'll get better storylines, better,
you know, higher profile things. One of his wrestling goals, of course, is to wrestle WrestleMania. It's only one way you're going to do that, and that's part of WWE. You know, but they said that he's still, you know, really good friends with the Bucks and Kenny. And, you know, he's wrestled for AEW already, you know, several times. So he's been to the buildings. He's been to the locker rooms. You know, he main evented one of their biggest pay-per-views, you know. So there is kind of a familiarity there. I don't know where he goes, but my hope is for him to go WWE. But yeah, he'll more than likely, I think AEW is the place he's heading to.
Yeah, and to kind of help solidify that rumor, it was recently announced that Rocky Romero has joined the office at AEW.
Oh, so okay. I didn't Rocky, see that.
Yeah, so Rocky being such an integral part of the New Japan America relationship, and obviously with the American
a member Revolution, of Chaos, he and Okada have been friends for 15 years. Yeah.
So you know, I think this is a way for them to be able to get Okada more comfortable. You know,
maybe.
And, you know, I mean, obviously, I think Rocky would still be involved with New Japan as well in some form in the United States because he's an integral part of, you know, New Japan Strong and whatnot. But yeah, I think once they announced that signing, that pretty much solidified that, yeah, Okada is going to go there because it's a familiar face that he trusts and knows that, you know, we'll look out for him. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna fight the battles for him politically if he needs to. That's true. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Take care of the character. So
yeah, protect. Yeah,
I think
character,
he can be like a superhero on AEW.
So what?
I think he can be like a superhero on AEW and like be like AJ was sort of in New Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be. Yeah, and of course Rocky also, you know, having a lot of friends in AEW as well.
Rocky's got friends everywhere, man. I mean,
he definitely does.
He's always been traveling, you know. I mean, right now he's still working, you know, Mexico, the US, and you know, occasionally working Japan. Mm. You know, he speaks Japanese, he speaks Spanish, he speaks English, you know, fluently. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he is, you know, going to be, I mean, and he's lived in all of those places as well. So he not only knows the language, but he knows the culture, you know, a fair amount as well. So I think he could be an amazing liaison, you know, for not just, you know, possibly Japanese talent coming, but also, you know, Lucha Libre talent as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like they have feature on AEW this week.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, Rocky, if I remember correctly, was the one that brokered the deal with WWE to allow Carl Anderson to finish up his dates with New Japan.
Okay. I didn't know that.
With WWE, yeah. Well, on his way back, because remember, I think he was a never open weight champion. And when he signed...
Yeah, he signed, and then he still went back to defend it and then wrestled at Wrestle Kingdom while technically WWE contracted talent. That's true. I didn't know it was Rocky who helped broker that deal, but I definitely remember the specifics of Carl's. Mm. Wow.
Yeah,
I don't know why that was huge, right? In the first place.
Yeah, well, you know.
Politics, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Ghetto thinks he's like great.
You know, I mean, and at that time he was heavily involved, I think, working with TNA and Impact with Gallows and AEW.
Yeah, they were still, we were still doing that Forbidden Door floating around kind of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so very, very, very interesting there. But yeah, so that's what's going on. With that on the Okada front, so good for him. If that's what makes him happy at the end of the day, that's what that's what he's gonna do. Right. You know, another person joining the AEW front office is QT Marshall, who literally left less than 2 months ago because, you know, I don't know if he just disagreed, but he basically mentioned AEW was going into a different direction. So he left. But now he's coming back in an office role.
Well, he also just co-started a new promotion, a new old promotion here in Georgia that just had their first show, the revived Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. That was, that was Dusty Rhodes' old promotion that, you know, here in Georgia. Cody owns it, and QT is QT primarily worked in on the production end for All Elite Wrestling. He was not as much talent management as he was helping video production and stuff. And so that's apparently where he's working, doing that. Still doing the Nightmare Factory, of course. And now Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling can essentially be kind of the promotion that features a lot of your Nightmare talent, Nightmare Factory talent, with QT doing production for them. But yeah, they just had their first show a couple weeks ago. The Yeti made an appearance. Scotty Riggs, I think. Glacier. Trying to think of who the hell else.
Michael Judas and Steiner.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think who. There was one other name I remember that, like. I don't know. But yeah, quite a lot of people were there. And apparently it's. They plan to do it, you know, regularly, maybe monthly or something. But they just did their first show a couple weeks ago. QT's got a lot of irons in the fire, I guess. Different fires, different irons, and different fires.
Are they doing it out there in Forest Park, or like where the Nightmare Factory is now?
I think that's where they did the first show, is at the factory.
Hinton Parkway in McDonough.
I was in McDonough. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Then we got Deep South Festus. Yeah. We got Deep South and Turnbuckle, like it's the 2000.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Cody obviously, you know, owns the name and the rights to it because his dad owned it. Cody's apparently at the factory that when he's in Atlanta, that's kind of where he'll train and stuff. So, it seems like it's a cool thing. And yeah, QT, I mean, definitely, obviously he's had a mind for wrestling. He's been involved with it for so long in many different capacities. But it does seem strange that like he just left cause he didn't like the way it was going. And now he's coming back in. Hopefully, you know, he gets some of what the things he felt were not working out in his favor, working now in his favor, be it money or, you know, power or say so or position or title or what have you. I mean, you hate to leave a job and then come back in a reduced role. So hopefully he's, you know, what things he didn't like that caused him to leave in the first place have now been rectified. Good on QT though. Yeah.
He loves to wrestle on TV.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, he's really, really good at getting heat and stuff. He goes down to CML or down to Mexico and does shows down there. And, you know, we've seen him at local shows here. I mean, he knows how to work and manipulate a crowd, and I think that's a skill that. I think that's a skill that, you know, a lot of younger talent, too focused on TV and not focused on the crowd enough. You know, hopefully that's something that he's helping implement in his in his talent.
Yeah, no, for sure. And let's not forget that show, I think the first show was free.
It's kind of like, here, we're going to be running these soon. Come check us out kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be interested how they, you know, where to take it from here, right? Maybe they're
just
checking out what the interest is.
Maybe,
I don't know. it's like I feel like it's a soft launch. Of course, Cody being Cody, he has those relationships where, you know, he can make anything happen.
Pretty much, yeah. He just gives a couple calls and people go, oh, yeah, hell yeah, you know.
But yeah, good for them. Yeah, you know, a lot of wrestling here. What I do think about Georgia wrestling, I've always been a huge hater
of Georgia wrestling.
Georgia wrestling. So, I embrace things that come back and are different. So if this is something that is different and, you know, fresh and new, then great. You know, because watching wrestling from a barn is just not my thing.
Me neither.
So, yeah. And I think that's one of the things that attracted me so much to AWE was just how different it was, right? And
yeah.
It felt fresh. It didn't feel like the good old.
Well, boy. You know, we were watching videos on, you know, online DVDs of, you know, other places and other regions doing something similar, you know, be it PWG or Beyond or Freelance or whomever, you know. So we're like, holy crap, we got something like that near us now. It's not just a bunch of, you know, hillbillies and old timers, you know, wrestling in the middle of nowhere. Like, we got something that feels new and fresh and modern, is on the cutting edge of what independent wrestling is, you know? And I think that's what drove, I mean, that pretty much took us all into it, you know?
Right. It was a whole year where the cool thing that happened was Matt Hardy came to Cobb Civic Center, like in 2013, and then like nothing happened for like a year in Atlanta.
Yeah, they would do these random shows every once in a while, but they were kind of like one-offs if it was something different like that, you know? They'd invest way too much in it, and then it wouldn't draw, and then they wouldn't be able to do another one.
Mm-hmm. Ring of Honor would never come back then, like until like 2015, I think.
Yeah, it was quite a few years before Ring of Honor came back, yeah.
Yeah. So, last week we talked about Scott DeMori being terminated from his role with TNA Wrestling. And, of course, we talked about how a lot of the wrestlers had gone online and were, you know, upset about the news. Apparently, the roster got together and wrote a letter to Anthem. Oh.
Yeah, I did read parts of that today.
Mm-hmm. So
that's the first time I heard of that for any boss, pretty much.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, they're rallying behind him, saying, "Hey, man, like we don't, you know, just to cut him out entirely, you know, is a great loss." Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and realistically, it is. You know, yeah, they wanted, you know, if they wanted to join the companies, like they could have put Scott in, you know, in a similar role, but just have the Anthem guy oversee him, or, you know, they run it together or something. To just kind of kick him out altogether does seem kind of fucked up.
Yeah, it's cruel.
You know, I mean, he's been with them since pretty much the early years. You know, there was a little time when he wasn't involved and then he came back. But, you know, I mean, we talked about it last week. He's the one who you can credit the revival of TNA wrestling with, you know, the bringing the talent in and locking your big names in and, you know, consistency and quality of product and, you know, rebranding it to TNA and, you know, having that big, big weekend in Vegas. And then they're just like, okay, thanks, later. So yeah, the talent all getting together and saying, hey, you know, like, yes, you know, Len, you know, I guess as the owner and Anthem, like TNA wouldn't be here without you, but like the reason it's successful as it is because of Scott. You know, so it may not really amount to much. They've already made up their mind and all this, but I mean, I could see if they decide, you know, to keep Scott on the outs and, you know, if things start to change for a way that a lot of talent doesn't like, I could see a lot of talent looking to leave. Despite, you know, as much love and loyalty as they have for the brand and each other, as, you know, as working together for the same goal and all this,
if the goal kind of changes, then I could see that I could see a lot of those people trying to look for work elsewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's somebody who the roster trusted in, right? And was 100% behind. And you cut that, especially when the locker room is happy and the locker room is positive and everybody, you know, is happy to be there. You know, guys like Nick Nemeth, for example, who could have gotten a deal anywhere, right? Or decided to come to TNA and see what opportunities he had there. It's just, you wouldn't have thought of that in, 5 years ago. Let's keep in mind, AEW didn't exist 5 years ago, right? I mean, 6 years ago, let's just say.
Right.
So even with AEW not being a choice, a wrestler leaving WWE may not have made TNA or Impact at that time the choice of place to go, because you know they've had good and bad reputations, right? And the way that the place has been ran sometimes just wasn't the best. But with Scott D'Amore, I mean, he got things right. He cleaned up so much stuff that nobody could look at the negatives, and they even got me talking about the positive things about TNA.
Yeah,
So to me, I'm like, you cut that, killing the morale. What's that gonna keep your independent contractors who want to be here any longer? You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that sometimes what's best for business is not necessarily what's best for business. But you know, Anthem is gonna Anthem. But
yeah, they're gonna do. Ultimately, they're gonna do what they want to do and feel what they feel is best. I mean, because TNA is ultimately just a part of their brand; that is not the entirety of their brand. So yeah, they're gonna do what they feel is best for Anthem as a whole. And you know, and unfortunately, that may be, you know, Damore out.
Yeah. But hey, the talent has something to say, so let's see how they respond, you know, and I mean, I get changing leadership if things are not going well or the talent's unhappy or something like that, but
yeah, but this was the complete opposite. Talent is great and working hard, and they're hitting success in multiple, you know, as successful as they've been in many, many years, you know, and then you just cut it. It seems, yeah, it doesn't seem like the right move. But like you said, Anthem's going to Anthem, unfortunately. It's their choice to make.
Yeah. But not to be worried about Scott D'Amore, because, you know, I mean, he's a guy who knows how to land. He's on 2 feet. He's already fully employed working with Border City Wrestling.
Border City was his company for many years.
Was it? Oh,
he
no
was
way.
I don't know if he owned it, but he was like he was like head trainer and stuff there. And a lot like that's how a lot of the guys that he brought into TNA when he first came were guys that had worked in Border City Wrestling, including Saban and Shelley and PD Williams and, you know, most of the Team Canada guys and all that were guys that had come through Border City Wrestling. So I guess he just jumps back into them full force. Like I said, I don't know if he was the owner, but I definitely remember them mentioning that too in the early days, like, you know, mentioning Border City Wrestling and Scott having been there.
Gotcha. You know, I wasn't aware of his relationship with them. But yeah, no, good for him, right? I mean,
yeah.
He can be focused on what he's good at and not have to worry about what is he going to do next. But yeah, no, you're right. He was one of the founders. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Next up, WWE's relationship with UFC, of course, under the TKO banner. Everybody wondering how that's going to play out. Well, we have now seen the first fruits of that labor. As people may be aware, some people may be aware, UFC is having a big pay-per-view this Saturday night at the Honda Center in California. And Monday Night Raw will be at the Honda Center as well. And I believe they were starting to sell combo tickets online for both shows.
Okay, interesting.
So, you know, making it like a weekend event.
Trying to at least. It's kind of
right.
Feeling the waters out, and then they could maybe do it, you know, bigger events and stuff, that kind of thing. But also, you're now seeing the staggering of pay-per-views as opposed to where in the past, you know, when they were quote-unquote rivals, you would have a UFC event and a WWE event on the same weekend, like a pay-per-view, trying to make the fans, in theory, either buy both or pick one over the other. Already the staggering of events to where they will not, you know, probably won't have the same weekend unless it's, like you said, a combo ticket or something. They could maybe do for, you know, two pay-per-views or something like that for at least fans in attendance. That's interesting. I'm wondering when we get the first co-branded event.
Well, here's the kicker. This venture for this weekend, I'm assuming this weekend was going to be a trial to see how ticket sales went. Obviously, UFC pay-per-views do very well. And, you know, Monday Night Raw is, you know, obviously a place to go. And, you know, the LA market is great. But what was just announced was that the Honda Center has signed a 5-year deal with TKO, where both WWE and UFC will be bringing each 3 events to the Honda Center annually.
3 events each per year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a total of six, basically. 6 shows by TKO annually for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Which is kind of game-changing because if they're committing to doing that to the with the Honda Center, that means
we can see that a lot
for that venue.
Yeah,
right.
Well, and we can, you know, I think that this deal could also be used to tout to do the same with other venues in other major cities. You know, say, hey, look what we offered them. You know, we could offer you the same, and here's proof of how it works, and you know. That kind of thing. So, I mean, we could be seeing a lot more of that in different markets and different cities, you know. I mean, obviously, stronger markets, they're going to grab a venue if they can, you know, Chicago and New York. You know, Philadelphia and those kind of things that are usually big markets for wrestling. Interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we've seen where WWE has, it started with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia where they did these paid shows, and then they started doing more like not necessarily paid shows, but kind of like discounted shows, like the one in Puerto Rico and then the one in
sold shows. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, where they came in and they didn't have to pay for the venue, for example, right? And things like that, where, you know, it saves WWE, TKO a little bit of money. At the same time, you know, they make sure that the venue and the city gets their money's worth. We've seen that with, you know, Germany, France, Australia. So we see that internationally, but a deal like this in the United States, you know, obviously has to be something that benefits WWE as well, in form of some type of money, whether it's money savings or getting paid money. So, yeah, that is definitely huge, and I mean something that, sure, maybe WWE could have got on its own eventually, but then you see the power of Endeavor, right? you know, mm-hmm. how that works, because the Endeavor, you know, being a talent agency and, you know, and being huge in the entertainment and sports industries, they have those relationships with promoters and with venues, and is, you know, is the main key why, to me, Endeavor was the best choice. Because of all those relationships, you know, and there's no, they're not competing with any, you know, with any venue, with any network, with anyone. You know, it's like, imagine if Disney, for example, had bought WWE or NBC Universal, you know, they wouldn't, I don't think they would expand their relationships with other networks, right? You wouldn't see Disney making a deal with Netflix to have Monday Night Raw.
Not redundant. It'd be like redundant right? in like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, so, yeah, I think TKO is trying, obviously, they paid a whole lot of money, you know, for this mm-hmm. company, and they're trying to, you know, make sure that they get their money's worth. And but yeah, I mean, that could lead to a lot more events that are co-branded, and you can see a lot more places where, you know, UFC and WWE are, you know, together in the same weekend. I mean, I think it's in, I think they're really going to Savannah sometime later this year, and they were having,
I think it's a live event they're putting on there. It sounds, I've never been to a live event. I heard those are the most fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they do like a combo there. I think they're doing like Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday and Monday, and they're selling like combo tickets for that as well. So I was like, that's smart. You know, it's like you start having multiple mm-hmm. shows and, you know, attract more people. I think that's great. So, yeah.
UFC starting to make stars again too.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, you know, UFC also benefiting from that, the relationship, because, you know, they have their first ever Saudi show, I think, in June of this year, which I think, it would eventually happen, I think. They could have possibly eventually done it on their own, but the existing relationship with Vince McMahon and you know, that he has with the Saudis while he was still the chairman of, you know, TKO Holdings probably is what helped bridge that and embrace, okay, well, UFC, we're going to open our doors to you now and we'll pay you money. Because, I mean, they're paying money to TKO already for WWE to come in, and now they have that, you know, the opening for the UFC. So, TKO doing a lot of big things on the business front, keeping the attention away from Vince McMahon and his eventual legal troubles. So I'm not sure how all that's gonna work out, but like those things usually take a while to get figured out.
There'll be people that don't care, like people like without the internet and old people. And probably like I bet Andrew Tate types will be into it. Like they'll think that's badass.
Yeah.
I mean that's true. I mean, like Ric Flair, for all of his, you know, indiscretions, I mean, granted, we don't know that Rick's done anything is in the way that of what's documented that Vince McMahon has, but you know, like that just plays for a lot of people, that just kind of plays into the, you know, the mystique and the character of the Nature Boy. It's kind of like, oh, I bet he did. You know,
for sure.
It's not a kind of mm-hmm. shock and horror reaction. He's still just as popular with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there's
if like some people that like he's only exposed his penis and stuff. He hasn't done any R words.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, well, but I'm saying, like, when people hear that with Rick, though, it's still like, oh, ha, 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 ha. Oh, yeah, that's just him being, you know, I bet he did. That's Ric Flair, all right. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's a, people brush it off as a funny thing when if somebody else did it, you'd be like, that's kind of fucked up. I don't know if I like that, you know, but.
Yeah, Rick's just being Rick.
About the, yeah. The flight from hell. I was like a kid, like it's like 2005, so I'm like 16, and I thought it was pretty funny, to be honest with you, because I was like 15.
Yeah, well, when you're a teenager, yeah, you kind of lack a little empathy. You know,
I thought it was kind of badass that they were just like, they took over this plane and were wrestling. That Kurt Angle was wrestling on the plane and doing drugs. I thought it was tight. I know it's not tight now.
Well, there, yet again, there are probably a lot of people who still do think it's pretty fucking funny and awesome and stuff.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So more on the AEW side. Of course, they had a very good week last week as the stars of CMLL invaded Dynamite in Rampage and Collision. Mostly, you know, facing off with the BCC. Well, now is time to pay back the favor. The Black Combat Club will be heading over to Mexico for the Homenaje a Dos Leyendas show. It's a show that will pay tribute to, two CML legends. And here's the match. We get Moxley, Castagnoli, Danielson, and Yuta facing off against Místico, Volador Jr., the Blue Panther, and Ultimo Guerrero. So,
That's big names again. That's your big names against big names. Yeah, damn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're gonna get to see Brian Danielson do the wrestling with some of the good old legendary Mexican wrestlers such as Blue Panther, who I know is somebody who Brian has I always admired and wished he could wrestle. So yeah, he's gonna get that chance to do that on March 29th. Yeah,
everybody's gonna blade in that one.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's gonna be a fun one to watch. For sure. So that'll be March 29th in Arena Mexico. So I don't know if Brian has ever wrestled in Arena Mexico.
How do you watch the show?
They have it on pay per view. But I don't know how to. So there'll be something out there eventually. It'll come out, you know. They'll have a way to stream it. I don't know specifically how they usually stream the shows to the U.S., but I am sure they will find a way.
Illegally, that's how we usually stream them here in the U.S.
Yeah, like I heard CMLL USA and CMLL Mexico are two different like entities now, and they're battling for like YouTube stream money and stuff.
Actually, they have their own sort of streaming channel, actually. So, I'll send it over to Danny to share with you.
Okay, thanks. Is that the one? It's like there's one, and it's like all trios matches, and it's like the show that's on TV, like on.
Oh yeah, that was like the it was like their syndicated weekly TV show here in the U.S. Yeah, it was like two or three. It'd be like two or three Clásico matches, not Clásico. What's the term I want to use?
Don't know.
When the term they use for the two out of three falls match typically.
Lucha de Tres Caídas?
No. It's like, I don't know. That's not the word. That's not the phrase I'm thinking of.
I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well. A
tournament, right? When they said tornado.
Maybe.
Are you thinking Lucha de Apuestas, Danny?
No, because I know that's not the same.
I know,
right?
Yeah, I know that's not what I'm thinking of.
It's like World of Sports style with some rounds, sort of. But World of Sports had some trios too.
They're like the captain's matches or whatever, right?
it's like a team sort of trios?
Well, not just trios, but I mean, it's like the two out of three falls trios match. Goodness. I'm going to have to Google some weird shit here. Hopefully,
I don't watch so much damn as that. I was watching The Crash and I watched Triple A.
Yeah. Danny, you want to watch when you type because, you know, the next you know, you'll have the FBI knocking on your door.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or whoever does that.
Right.
Those visits. Anyways, when he comes back to you, you can let us know what you meant for that. But all right, it is time. Let me make sure I don't do it too loud this time. We are on the way to WrestleMania in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love. It's a rocky road, huh? Pun intended. I didn't even mean to do that, but there you go. It's a rocky road to WrestleMania. So obviously, The Rock is pissed, and The Rock is coming to SmackDown this Friday with Roman Reigns, and who knows what they have to say. Obviously, with Triple H on Monday Night Raw, you know, say that it doesn't matter what anybody wants or thinks or whatever, or the main event of WrestleMania will be Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes for the Undisputed Universal Championship. So if anybody had any doubts, you know, if anybody still had their penny to watch, if there were still any Cody crybabies out there, calm your horses because the match is happening at WrestleMania for the championship. You know, and Cody's going to get the chance to finish his story. But on the bumpy road to WrestleMania, we got the Elimination Chamber from Perth, Australia. And it's already looking like a really good one. The Judgment Day will be defending their tag team championships against British Strong Style. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Liv Morgan have punched their tickets into the Elimination Chamber. Three more competitors will earn their shots. I think it's this Friday and then next Monday is the last qualifying matches. Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, and LA Knight. Are headed to Elimination Chamber. Two more names. There'll be two more matches on SmackDown that will determine the last two remaining competitors for that. And of course, Rhea Ripley will be defending her World Championship against Nia Jax.
It's gonna be a battle of the giants.
Well,
I hope it's cool. But here's the thing. Watch it. To be honest with you.
We know what WWE likes to do with people who wrestle in their hometowns. Let's hope that's not the case here.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
I mean, let's hope there's a thing of the past.
Well, didn't somebody else win big in their hometown recently that we were talking about? I can't recall now.
Yeah, they think those are more valuable.
You know, I don't know.
I felt like we talked about it and we were like, hey, they actually let so-and-so win in their hometown. And we were shocked about it and joking about it in that same fashion.
Well,
right.
Did the Mets win in Cleveland?
Yeah, but him winning in Cleveland gets more heat than it does the Memphis Bob. All
right.
I don't know.
AJ Styles in Atlanta?
No.
Just feel like that's too soon. Who knows? Once you figure out the first thing about the Mexican match, then you can figure out.
Yeah, it was Atomicos was the term I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. But
apparently, Atomicos specifically is more of a 4-on-4, not a trios, gotcha. 3-on-3. But I feel like, yeah, with the syndicated weekly CMLL show, it's pretty much two or three matches just like that. You know, two out of three falls. You know, trios or Atomicos 4-on-4. You know, it was kind of like, yeah, it was like a house show matches, basically. You know, exhibition style matches showcasing the talent and things like that, you know, rather than big storyline blow offs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Now the road, as we're talking about the road to WrestleMania, obviously we have, you know, the championship match is pretty much almost set. Cody versus Roman. Let's talk about that move. Bayley kicked out of the group that she created.
Yeah.
And yeah. Now we'll be challenging Io Sky at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean, she was saying that she wanted to challenge Io, and they were like, well, fuck you. And Kabuki Warriors jumped on her ass. Uh-huh. Which is weird that we're trying to get sympathy for Bayley when the Kabuki Warriors specifically have very, very, very good reason to want to just beat the ever-loving shit out of her. You know, when the first time the Kabuki Warriors were together, who were they feuding against? Bayley and Sasha Banks. Bayley, storyline-wise, is the one who concussed Kairi and sent her back to Japan. That's the storyline. You know, Bayley attacked her and was slamming her head against the, you know, the steel door and these kind of things, supposedly concussed Kairi, which it was actually Nia Jax who concussed her. But then that's what, you know, sent her to Japan and kicked her out of WWE, you know, ultimately. So Asuka pissed off that she kicked her friend out. Io, also really good friends with Kairi, should be pissed at Bayley for doing that. Yet Bayley is somehow the sympathetic person in this story. Seems really strange to me.
It's WWE for you. Like Chris Jericho,
yeah, always have
like the moral high ground, but he'd be such a dick about it that he's booing.
Yeah, that's kind of true. But and I guess sometimes they do kind of just go with more recent history. You know, yeah, this is her group. She's the one who kind of brought she brought Io in the first place, who then brought in Asuka and Kairi. You know, and it's her group and they kicked her out, boo hoo hoo Bayley. But like, yeah, you go back a little further, like they got a reason to do this and should be 100% justified. Mm-hmm. So it just depends how far you go back the history, I guess, to determine whether she gets sympathy or not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she ended up becoming the outcast of the group, and you know, it's funny how they I don't know. I would have felt like they would have made it more obvious and a little more long term, like showing the speed between them. I feel like, you know, for a long time, I mean, obviously, Bayley was a little weary of the girls because of what she did to them. But at the same time, you never saw real animosity, right? I mean, until last Friday when they were quote unquote talking about her behind her back and she saw them from afar. And all of a sudden, one time, also made a whole group breakup. But whatever, that's no here nor there. Because that's where we're heading anyway. So yeah, we got the clean breakup. And
Mika from down the street apparently is saying,
"It's not true, right?"
Yeah.
Mannerisms of the girls, like they were distancing themselves from Bailey. It just wasn't blatantly obvious. Every week, like they would come out, she would try to high five them. They really did do little mean girl type.
Yeah, it's been a lot. It's yeah, it's they've been planting the seeds with that for a long time. Yeah,
that's
pretty much since Asuka came into the group, because even Bailey was like, "Whoa, like are we really being friends with Asuka?" Like. She's, you know, like her and I have been fighting for years. So she was already kind of weary of that. And then Kairi comes in too. And she's like, huh? Like Kairi comes to hug her. And she's like, I don't really do that anymore. Like the whole, it seems like from the longer time, like they were kind of trying to fuck with her and kick her out. And them speaking like the, you know, Io, Kairi and Asuka pretty much speaking they can all speak English, but they pretty much chose to speak Japanese around her to kind of feel, make her feel excluded when Dakota Kai seemingly understands Japanese fairly well, or at least well enough.
They're speaking like
that. She would kind of act as translator because not because they needed her to, but because they chose to make her feel further isolated. So it was like from the get go, once Asuka came in that like, this is the fucking plan now.
That's a very good point. I just saw Mika's question. Does Rhea Ripley main event Elimination Chamber Perth? Not against Nia Jax.
I don't think that's a big enough money match. No, I think that the chamber itself probably main events the show. I don't know if it's men's or women's chamber, but I think one of the chambers is going to main event.
I mean,
she's the biggest star. They sent her there, to do PR work, to lay the groundwork, so to speak, you know, months and months and months ago. I understand Nia Jax is not the dream opponent, but it's Rhea. Do they let her main event?
No. Semi-main.
I don't think she loses in her home country. I get the hometown thing, but home country... I want them to make it out of Australia or wherever alive. I don't know what they would do to them down there. I don't think they should.
I would think the women's chamber probably opens the show or is early in the show, one of the first or second matches. Then Rhea co-main events or semi-main events, and then the men's chamber probably closes the show. That's probably how it goes because, yeah, like you said, I think they utilize her star power. They don't just – even though it is – you know, Nia Jackson has pretty much seen that Rhea's just going to beat her. Like you said, she's the big star, the returning champion, these kind of things. But I don't think she's main. I don't think her versus Nia would main event over two chamber matches in the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view named for that event.
Here's my take on it. My take would be this. Rhea does not main event, but the main event will be the women's chamber. Becky wins, and we get a face-off at the end of the night of Rhea versus Becky. So while she does the main event in her hometown, she's standing tall face-to-face against Becky Lynch.
At show end. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have to be in the main event, but she'll be definitely there at the end. That's my guess. David, where do you see it?
Oh, well, Rhea and Nia?
Yeah, like, do you think Rhea will have, like, does she main event? Where is Rhea placed on the card here in her hometown, her home country, her home continent?
Oh, I think she wins. She's like, on TikTok, because she's like a hot goth chick with the shaved sides of her head. Like, they really like her on TikTok, like, beyond wrestling fans. And, like, I think Australia's going to be hyped, because, like, I mean, there are stars outside of Australia, but she's the current one. I'm sure they love TikTok out there, too. It just seems like they would in Australia.
Yeah.
So, like, I think she's going to get blown to the moon until, like, it's over. They're just going to keep it going until she gets hurt or, like, they find somebody they want her to take it off her. That's money.
Yeah. Now, back to damage control. Dakota chose to stand by Bailey's side. Does that stick, or will she eventually also turn on her?
It's a long way to WrestleMania. I think we got you need that to keep this story going. And yeah, I think somewhere along the line, Dakota turns on her to give Bailey even more sympathy going into the match with Io.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, what, 4-1 at that point at WrestleMania? I feel like there'll be some shenanigans. I think people will come back and join Bayley's side to help her out at WrestleMania. I think that on the whole road to WrestleMania, Bayley's going to be fighting it either just with Dakota or on her own when that turn happens. But at WrestleMania, we're going to see the tides turn and, you know, people finally embracing and joining Bayley. But, yeah, I think, like, to Danny's point, to build sympathy, she's got to be just one on her own against all of them and try to fight the good fight.
But the good fight is ultimately herself getting concussed in revenge for concussing Kyrie and trying to send Kyrie out. That's the good fight. That's the real story. But that's not the story they want to tell.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not. All right. So one huge event that happens every year, WrestleMania weekend, is the Hall of Fame ceremony. So not going through every single category, but we're in the city of brotherly love. Who do we see as possible names that you could see or would like to see get inducted into the Hall of Fame this year?
Oh, I hadn't even thought about the fucking Hall of Fame. Holy shit.
Is Vader in there yet?
Vader? No.
And then there's probably some Memphis guys that could put in, like, what's his name? The short guy. Oh, Bill Dundee or some. Is he in there?
I think he might be.
Yeah, he might be. Maybe a stable or something.
Well, the question is, will they finally induct Batista, who was supposed to get inducted back in 2021, I think?
Oh, I didn't know that.
2020, I can't remember. And yeah, due to COVID, they didn't have the Hall of Fame. So yeah, and then they have him put him back on.
That'd be a good idea. Because he's not tied up, and, like, he has his brand recognition, too. And, like, everybody has had fun watching him who was there for it.
Another name people have brought up is Wyndham Rotunda.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That'd be good.
So that could be a possibility. I'm trying to think of like women wise, like who could they put in next? But every name that I keep coming up with is already in there. Is Tori in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, she's in there, I think.
Wilson?
I saw her do it. Yeah. I feel like I saw her do a speech.
Yeah, I feel like she
was... I thought she inducted Stacy.
Maybe that was it. Victoria would be a good one in the Hall of Fame, but maybe she's working too much for them to put her on and give her like an ad, kind of. But Victoria would be a good one.
Yeah.
Alicia Fox, too.
I mean, if you let Coco Beware get in it, why not?
Right, Coco Beware is awesome. Alicia Fox was there for a long time.
The problem with when people talk about Coco Beware's entrance into the Hall of Fame isn't like because of how good he was. It was more what he accomplished within the confines of WWE. Does that earn him a spot in the WWE Hall of Fame? Yes, he did a lot of great things elsewhere and all this, and you know. But, I mean, he was essentially kind of a mascot-type character, you know?
Mm-hmm. He probably deserves it because he's part of that rock and roll movement, like with the Morris Day theme song. And, like, I'm sure kids loved him and wanted to see Frankie. Like, he was very over. The whole dance. I mean, that's Morris Day's dance, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying. I mean, they're gonna be Philadelphia. Do they do Heyman? Do they induct Paul Heyman in Philadelphia?
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for Philly, you would think Paul Heyman, but at the same time, like, does Paul break bloodline character to go? You know, to do all that stuff.
I think he would. For the Hall of Fame, yeah. I mean, he deserves to be there. For 100%.
I don't think that is
what better place. Sabu, yeah. I mean, which ECW originals we could see going in there? Sabu. Rob Van Dam is already in.
He's already in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Raven.
Huh?
Like Raven should go in. He's had a Hall of Fame career. Maybe not in WWE, though.
Yeah, but it's still he had, because they own WCW and ECW, they've been able to get away with bringing people in from, you know,
oh, sure.
Other places.
Yeah, that's content now.
Yeah. I guess I don't know if Raven was part of one of the most recent lawsuits against WWE for concussions and things like that, but I know that they've kept some people away that were involved with that. So I can't imagine Raven was one of those that they say, hey, you know, they left in good terms. Maybe the stigma is somebody who lives in good terms with anyone. So.
And Dustin would be a good Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Speaking of Dustin, have you guys been seeing on the interwebs how people are asking AEW to allow Dustin Rhodes to join his brother in the battle against the Bloodline?
Hmm. Well, the interwebs likes a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it'd be fun if he was there. But I don't think he'll be there.
Yeah, neither do I. Neither do I.
He seems like he's enjoying his freedom.
Yeah. And he's got his school in Texas. Also, yeah, But that's a guy who I eventually would like to see in the Hall of Fame. Also,
he's super over.
But yeah, I mean, I'm drawing blanks.
Yeah, it's kind of. I mean, that's kind of it. Like you said, you know, Batista. You know, is kind of one of the last big names, you know, Attitude Era-ish big names that hasn't gone in.
Yeah.
Yeah, after him, like, I mean, Al Snow's probably, like, Al Snow's probably going to get it because of how many students he's, like, interacted with at this point. Like, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
Maybe a decade from now, though.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to look at all the wrestlers that are from Philadelphia. Apparently, a lot of them are from Pennsylvania, but nobody really sticks out to me. Somebody who did want to put in the Hall of Fame, or that isn't already in the Hall of Fame,
like the Blue World Order.
Yes, bring back the Blue or older. You know, why not? It's 2024.
It'd be awesome.
I mean, isn't the Blue Meanie still doing the gimmick?
He was in on AEW.
Wherever people will pay him to do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. He'll just buy some blue sweatpants at Walmart and show up. Like, he'll fly in or something.
Yep.
Get his gear from
get a
Walmart.
Couple blue markers or whatever and scribble on his face.
Mm-hmm. And he's so skinny now that, like, you can't even, it doesn't even look like the Meanie.
No.
But it's cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't Stevie Richards, like, recovering from some type of back surgery?
I think that was quite some time ago. I don't know.
I'm not sure either, but I know he was had a serious thing.
Who was their third? Who was it that played the Hogan character?
Nova.
It was Nova, Stevie, and Blue Meanie. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. Love that group.
I hate it when they inducted Rikishi, and he didn't say anything about Too Cool.
Rikishi is some type of weird. Rikishi is, you know, I mean, he's trying to milk the bloodline as much as he can.
He's
booked on. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw Total Divas, but when Jimmy married Naomi, in Total Divas, he even showed up to the wedding. He no-showed. He sounds weird.
Really?
Dang.
So I'm like, because I remember watching the episode, they like called him, like, hey, you're coming, right? It's like, yeah, I'm going to be there. I mean, like, who questions that if their parent is going to be at their wedding?
You know? A lot of people on those wedding TV shows to build drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll literally, Rikishi, you know, ask him to come to fake it. Yeah. Unless it was scripted for him to come and you know, they say, hey, we will, or he was there, but they just made it look like he wasn't.
Yeah.
I think Neidhart's story was the Jimmy Neidhart story about his condition at the time.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't know. I want to start giving us names. I mean, we're like what, 8 weeks away, 7 weeks away from WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Guys are giving us some names, you know.
Yeah, you would think they would drop at least the first one soon.
Yeah, and I don't believe these are the And WWE needs all the good press they can use, right? And,
well, that too.
And bringing in the lovable.
Yeah, get folks talking about something else. Yeah,
right.
It's, get folks something to talk about.
I mean, this whole Rock thing sort of almost blew up in their faces. Thinking that The Rock was going to be able to save them from the scandal with Vince McMahon, and then this created a whole other ordeal. It's very interesting that they haven't done anything. But you know what? In time, I'm sure. Maybe they'll do like 3 or 4 names at a time. Or maybe they'll start after Elimination Chamber. Maybe they're all focused on that. So, who
knows? Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, like you said, I think they need to start doing it soon. At least somebody.
Yeah. I wonder who Mika would love to see in the WWE Hall of Fame.
She wants Triple H in there, but only with his long hair.
I don't think Triple H is gonna put himself in the Hall of Fame. I think the way that he put himself in the Hall of Fame was with the X.
And Evolution, right? Didn't Evolution go in?
No.
No, not yet.
They will.
Danny's correct. Hunter with long hair or nothing.
She's got a type, guys. She's got a type. Is a long hair.
And white.
And old. Yeah. She likes rich, old, long, blonde hair man.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Sorbo?
He's not blonde, though.
Like Kevin
Sorbo. Uh-huh. That's something I haven't.
I know, right?
Right.
The legendary journeys. Oh, Mika's saying in the chat she'd love to respect the WCW folks, like the Hurricane and Hoovy.
Yeah, Hoovy getting in.
Yeah, I think Hoovy's a little too problematic still that he ain't coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Helms, really? I could see. Yeah, apparently. I mean, he still does a lot of drugs and all this kind of shit. I think. Maybe not. But, I mean, the reason they fired him was because he was wigged out on drugs and shit. Making a scene in public and all this stuff. I could see Helms going in the Hurricane, you know, at some point. I mean, he's not going to be the main guy, but I definitely could see him going in. You know, they'd love to do a montage of a lot of his comedy stuff.
Is Tatanka in it?
No.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the song I got for the Hall of Fame. That's actually all we got for the road to WrestleMania. It's kind of like it's been on pause. Like, I feel like they look like, you know, coming out of the Royal Rumble, like, hey, we're on the road. The suits are packed. Let's go. And then now they took a turn to Perth, Australia. All the focus is on Elimination Chamber. And of course, The Rock, which, by the way, Brian Gerwitz, former head writer of Monday Night Raw and one of Rock's right hand men in his 7 Bucks production, is temporarily back with WWE, basically being The Rock's representative in the creative. In the creative team. So. When the creative is talking about what's the blessing for The Rock,
yeah, that's not gonna work. That's not gonna work for me, Jabroni. That's going to be the new term. It's not going to be that's going to work for me, brother. That's not going to work for me, jabroni.
So, yeah. I mean, I thought Brian Gross was definitely a great part of, you know, the league back in the day. And, yeah, I mean, but the writer's room, I feel like it's one of those that just got the biggest turnover.
Oh, yeah, so, I heard it's a miserable job.
What, wasn't Freddie Prinze Jr. part of the team once? A creative?
Yeah. He taught promo class, too, at the Performance Center.
Mm. I didn't know that. That's funny.
Yeah, probably just as a guest. But, yeah, he was... I heard.
Well, I mean, he's an actor. He's an actor. He knows how to read and deliver lines. That's what he did. Exactly. So it makes sense, you know. Since they're scripting everything for you instead of letting you kind of wing it on your own, you know.
Yeah. He sounds like Jeff Hardy's video where he's all like, he said like Jeff Hardy was drugged or whatever, like on his favorite drug. And he had to get a promo out of him, and Vince was like, "You have to do it." And so, like, he just took a camcorder, and they sat like in a stairwell, and like Jeff Hardy just kind of rambled and sat there when he was feuding with Punk.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you kind of you didn't really know what you were gonna get with Jeff Hardy on TV at the time, unfortunately.
I heard he got hurt bad. Yeah. Like this week,
Jeff did.
He took a splash from Sammy Guevara, and I think Sammy landed on his face. So yeah,
yikes!
He's hurt both hard. He's bad now. I think he's hurt Jeff twice, and maybe Matt twice too. I remember he just threw a chair at him, and Matt like bled hard with.
Well, you know, maybe they're telling Sammy you have one job. One job.
To hurt the hardest.
Get rid of the hardest.
All right.
Get rid of the hardest. Be done with him.
I bet they have an expensive contract. Like to be paying them for what they do, like for especially Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff. He's such a wild card. But yeah. Apparently, he's gonna be throwing a concert WrestleMania weekend. So.
Good idea.
Yeah. I mean, he did it when a WrestleCade in November, and apparently that did well. So, yep, do it again in Philadelphia. So, I'm gonna miss it, unfortunately. But there will be tons of people who will probably go to see Jeff Hardy perform.
He is a real draw. Like even if he's like at some Envy Sean Cornelia, they get so many people from the whole Southeast. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Cornelia. See, once they burned the place down, I was hoping I'd never have to hear about the place again. David, thanks. Thanks for reminding me that place existed at one point. I guess that's the best way to end the show. On the downer. Cornelia existed at one point, but what the heck? He gave us AJ Styles. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another week of FOW Live. Dave, thanks for joining us again. It's a pleasure to have you.
That was real fun.
Yeah. Can't wait to see what happens next week. Of course, next week we'll break down our predictions for the Elimination Chamber. See what crazy tweets Tony Khan has. Maybe he'll come up with his next big announcement and much more. Make sure you subscribe iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, and many more. Check us out on the interweb side at FOW Radio. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.